Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire radio program that we lovingly call Satsang, a heart-to-heart communion, is being recorded for January 14th, 2017. And I'm down in San Diego right now getting ready to offer my workshop down there, getting us ready for our Mount Madonna retreat, which will be very, very important coming up this March. It will be a retreat. Well, the whole year will be a year of understanding the nature of the rest of our life. And I hope that those of you who have the ability to comprehend that will come and join us and maybe find the bigger picture. You very much well could. We're going to do a little ceremony down there, a couple of them, a White Rock ceremony that we do every year. I'll be handing out to you little cards that you will fill out and sign and seal, and I will take them home with me. And then next year, or this year, I should say, I'm sorry, at the end of the year around Christmas time, I'll send them back to you. We'll see if you kept your word to yourself. So you will also get two new beautiful meditations along with some ambient music. All of this will be for you. All of this will be coming up on Saturday at the Encinitas Community Center in Encinitas. And I love going there and being there. Well, today we're going to talk about words and things I talk about with you. I get a slew of emails, usually around midweek, about how I talk to you, the words I use, the symbolisms, the whole thing, especially when it comes to my commentaries, for those of you who read them. And it seems to generate within people a sense of confusion and everything else. So I thought I would talk about this with you. I have three beautiful questions to offer you from people who listen to us regularly, believe it or not, regularly. So here's the first question from Janice, who hears us from Oceanside, California. Why do you use words that I don't seem to understand? It's not the words, it's the order you use them in. And how you talk to us. It is very intriguing, yet very different from normal conversation. How am I to understand you, Janice? Janice, I've always said this to you. Don't listen to my words. Listen to the spaces and the pauses between the words. I am not giving a sermon here. I am not giving a talk on how to motivate you, motivational talk. I am speaking about the places in your life that have gaps and pauses in them. The ones that we sometimes feel very awkward in, and the ones that are very difficult for most of us to understand because we're so used to jargon, our mental and emotional jargon. So we listen to sentences and we listen to thoughts and we listen to words that represent those thoughts and those ideas. But we miss because we are not really listening to what is authentic. We are listening only to what we believe in. You can only hear what I am saying based on what you can comprehend. In other words, what you have come to believe in. Your comprehension depends a great deal on your genetic disposition and how far you go with that genetic disposition. The further you go with it, the more you have of it, the less you will be able to hear me because you are hearing me through your forefathers. You're not hearing me from your authentic heart, your authentic inner being. You are listening to me from a self that is relegated to genetics and has come to genetics in the form of listening to me from what the level of intelligence was in your genetic disposition. I have very smart students. I do. They're very quick. They're very smart. But they are not wise students. And at times, many of them are unintelligent. Intelligence is when you can combine listening silently. When you can combine silence with mind. But this mind is a no mind. It is not a mind that thinks in repetitions, thinks in thoughts, thinks in pictures, thinks in words. The mind you are hearing, the mind that hears me, is a meditative mind. It is not a mind that is busy struggling, trying to get desire, ambition, and pride into its life. If you truly listen, if you are able to really listen, it will be because you meditate. It won't be difficult to hear me, to understand the nature of what I am talking about. Because if you meditate, that mind that you meditate with will be able to imbibe what I am talking about. If you don't have a meditative mind, if you have a busy mind, a smart mind, a mind that is always thinking in terms of right and wrong, good and bad, it's dualistic in its thinking process, you will miss. Because the mind is always evaluating things from the proximity of the ego, the pride, the vanity. It is the genetic disposition, and it has to do also, of course, with our emotionality. So, Janice, you are not really hearing me. It must be very difficult, because I use words that your mind understands, but I don't always use them in the order in which your mind can conceive of as logical or reasonable. And yet, here you are, listening to me. There must be a part of you that is trying to flower, to open up. There must be a part of you that is starting to ever so slightly and beautifully awaken. Awaken to the spirit of compassion and love. There must be a part of you that wants to enter into meditation. Really enter into it. So why not? To learn the language of silence is one of the most noble and beautiful things a human being can do. When I first went to India, and I sat in front of my master, who I didn't know at the time was going to be my master, I could not understand him either. My mind, it fought, and it fumed. Here I am sitting in this strange country with odors I have never detected before in my life, with people of a different culture, different ways of thinking. These people were much more intelligent than I was. They could listen to the silences. They could listen to the meaning that was not being given through words. They could imbibe the master's discourse. I sat there in total confusion. Part of me wanted to leave right away because I thought, I will never understand this. I will never get it. But I was wrong. Thank God I didn't leave. I sat there and I learned how to listen to a discourse. Something my students, most of them, do not know how to do. Even now, after being with me for years, they still cannot listen to a discourse. Their minds are always ahead of them, thinking ahead of what I'm going to say, thinking they know what I mean. They're always rushing ahead, and they miss everything that is pertinent, that is important. They think they know. They gather intellectual knowledge, but they don't get the spirit of it. Every month, I make 4 very special discourses, Janice, on the subject that I am working on in my breath journal that everyone can read and order and have and yada yada yada. But very few can really read that breath journal. Very few can listen to those discourses. Really listen. They are not of a meditative mind. They listen to it like they're listening to the radio or to TV. You can't listen to a spiritual discourse as if you are listening to your preacher, your minister, somebody pitching you on TV. This is not Oprah stuff I am teaching here. You must listen with your heart. You must listen silently. And only your heart can derive the meaning, not your mind. Your authentic heart. It isn't your ego heart, your emotional heart. It is your heart. And if you do not understand that, if you cannot hear that, if you cannot move in that, you cannot awaken. You must awaken. If you meditate, Janice, you will eventually understand me. If you are busy thinking of other thoughts, you will miss. This takes complete focus and inner attention. And some part of you wants to go forward. If I were you, I would follow that with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and with all of my strength. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. You can't just listen to a discourse casually. I always tell my students, if you're going to get these discourses, make them special. Sit down. Be in a quiet place. They're only 20 minutes long. They're not long and hard. And just listen. Like you would listen to the sound of running water. Or the wind in a pine tree blowing through. Just listen. If you learn how to listen, you will hear so many things are going on in that discourse. More than you could ever imagine. And all of a sudden, you get it on your own. You don't comprehend. You meld into it and you become one with it. It's a very beautiful experience. The next question comes from Kathy. Kathy lives in, Denver, Colorado. I know what you have to say is deeply important. I understand that, Greg, but I don't get it. Every time I listen to you, you just don't seem to make logical sense to me. Can you help, Kathy? Kathy, I don't know what I could say to you. What I am offering is not practical to your genetic life, your genetic disposition. It is not. What I am offering to you goes in one ear and out the other because the ego cannot find anything it can use in there. It cannot find anything that seems practical to it. The ego is always looking for practicality. The emotionality is looking for something that will support it. If you're highly emotional and you have deep inner problems, your emotions will be looking for words that will help it sustain its anger or its fear, whatever it is that's going on, and generate it more and more and more. This is the way egos are. But if you listen to me from your heart, if you can drop the words and not worry about formulating thought from what I'm giving you, to listen to a discourse, you have to put away thought. You can't listen to a discourse and try to make it fit the way your psychology and mind want to think. It won't work that way. An authentic discourse does not deal in polar opposites, duality. So when you are listening, you are listening comparing one idea with another. And in that comparison, believe it or not, you are fighting with the thought that's being given to you. Now, if the thoughts come to you from a discourse, you think you understand it. But I'm telling you, no, we do not understand it. We have categorized it. We have homogenized it to fit the way we think and our emotionality. And in doing this, we have lost the depth and the meaning of the whole thing. But people don't care about losing the meaning. They only care about getting what they want, what they can believe in, what they can think. Hence, they miss too. What is deeply important is to listen without an agenda. If you listen with an agenda, with your IQ, with your mind, no matter how smart you may be, how high your IQ might be, you will miss the whole thing because it is not words we are dealing with here. It is not even thoughts that we are dealing with here. There is a reality behind everything, beyond the thoughts Greg Penn thinks. You can have this moment where you truly accelerate into your heart, feeling the beauty of your heart, beyond the compromises you've made through your emotionality and thinking that have brought you to the place where you cannot understand a spiritual discourse. It is not hard to do this, to listen. It is hard to take what you hear and think you are comprehending it through comparing one thought with another. Oh, he's talking about that. I've heard that. Oh, he's talking about this. Oh, I hadn't thought about that. That's missing. Discourses are symphonies. They are symphonies of tones and textures that reveal on and on and on more reality and more reality and more reality. And reality is not something the mind can think. It can't capture reality. Truth cannot be taught. It has to be caught. And all great truths look silly, ridiculous, like blasphemy to the average pedestrian mentality. So you're going to have to change the way you listen. And the only way to do that is to remove yourself from your own emotionality. That would be number one. To no longer see how anything that is said could sustain and fit your emotionality, keep you getting, hoping, wanting, desiring. The next thing is you're going to have to, whether you like it or not, and if you don't, it won't matter, and if you do, it might matter, you're going to have to meditate. The meditative mind is totally different than the ego mind, than the mind that is constantly enthralled with itself through its own thoughts. This is one of the ugliest, most selfish things that we do, to be enthralled by our own thoughts, amused and amazed by what we are thinking. It is silly. But we do it. We do it. And in doing so, we miss the conversation that is happening deep within us, which is wordless. It's pointless to say to people that this all exists in general. The American public cannot generally understand this. But nonetheless, less than none, this is a very important moment in a person's life when they can hear the unspoken. It is about being and living quietly. Then it translates into a lifestyle where you live quietly. You do not live in the noise. That is deeply important. So there you are. Kathy from Denver, Colorado, I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. This comes from Jack, and he lives in Baltimore, Maryland, and listens to us via the website at aspire.org, he says. I listen to you. And Greg, I'm afraid to really hear you. Sometimes what you say is too close to the bone. Can you comment on this, Jack? I understand what you are saying. You can't be a frivolous person and listen to a discourse. You can't be a frivolous person and listen to the call of the unknown. Can't be done. You have to be a person who has some sense of inner merit, where you are reaching deep within yourself, beyond the human disease. All of us, including myself, have this human disease. It is logic and reasoning. It is the things we believe in, the things that we can think, the things that sustain our anger, our fear, our personal hatred. And these things sustain themselves through emotionality. And the more emotional, of course, we are, the more deeply these things affect us. You can't be offended by what you hear. If you get offended by what you hear, then everything that I am giving you is lost. Why be offended? So you find out that there is some things about yourself you did not know you possessed, that you did not know you were coddling, as it were. So what? It is what it is. There's no need for shame. There's no need for guilt. There's no need to take offense. As Jesus said, blessed is he who is not offended in me. Listening to a discourse, an honest one, you have to rearrange your priorities. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first, said Jesus. You have to put love first. It must be more important to be aware of love within you, the state of consciousness within you, than being offended by the mind that tries to cover all this up with guilt and shame, and even ideas of want and more. The more we do this kind of thing, the less love there is. I have many a student who have come and gone thinking that they could get it through their intellect. You cannot get this through your intellect. I almost lost it too. As I said in the very beginning, in India, I wanted to jump ship too. But you can't. If this pull is genuine in you, if it is authentic that you find the way of your own heart and the meaning of your life, then there is no way to jump ship. You will have to develop a meditative mind, a mind that listens and is not trying to fantasize about a better life, using meditation as a way to get there. Patience, dear one. Practice, dear one. Everything is about those two things. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or something I could be of service to you, come to the website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org, and you will see media. Just click on media, pull it down. You'll see Satsang with Saraj. That is me. And you can ask a question and you can listen to past radio programs. They're all there, and even future ones. Hey, have a beautiful day. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Please forgive me. Namaste.